This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jose Canseco has joined us on Sports Byline. Jose, of course, spent 17 years in the Major League, starting off with the Oakland A's, and that's where I first got to know him, and then stops with Texas, Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay, the Yankees, and finally the White Sox. And he finished his career with 462 home runs, played on four World Series. He won two of them, one with the A's, one with the Yankees. He was a Rookie of the Year in the American League and a six-time All-Star. It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
You look great, Ron. I'm telling you. You're getting younger by the minute. You on that growth hormone? I'm telling you.
The last time we saw each other was down at the Super Bowl many, many years ago when it was down in Miami another time. You know, I invariably ask authors this question, and I think it's probably most pertinent with you. I always ask them at some time in the interview, what was your motivation for writing this book? And so I put that question out to you to kick this thing off.
I've been asked that so many times, and finally I get to tell my side of the story. Finally I get to tell the truth. I get to talk about my life without, some media personnel doctoring it or blowing it out of proportion or lying about it or not telling a story at all. So this was my way to finally fight back. You know, 17 years of media portraying me as this hell's angel, this domestic violence individual, this very aggressive individual just goes out to nightclubs and just beats up on people. I mean, I finally got to put my story down on paper straight from, myself to the book and straight to my fans.
But some of the things that you have done, do you not understand that the media is going to take advantage of something like that?
Well, absolutely. But, I can understand the media blowing things out of proportion, but completely lying about certain instances that actually happened in my career, that's not right.
Let me go back to the conversation you and I had, and I don't know that you'll recall it. It was shortly after the gun incident where you were at the doctor's office. It was underneath the seat of your car, and you right. And I were talking about that, and you and I have always connected on a pretty good level. And I asked you about it, and you said to me, Ron, in my culture, carrying a gun is like you carrying a wallet.
Well, I think in the American culture in general, I think everyone has the right to bear arms. I think everyone has the right to protect themselves. And you got to remember something wrong. Back then, I was the best athlete in the world, just accomplished the 40-40, acquired the largest contract in baseball. So I definitely thought I had a need to protect myself. And obviously, we saw how the media worked back then where I explained to you what happened with that incident. It was completely blown out of proportion to the point where the media, made it look like I was just a gunslinger bringing this gun to campus, just pointing it at people. It was crazy. It was absurd, an absolute lie.
The other thing you told me is that you are judged in this society, meaning the American society, by how much you make. And I thought that was a very telling statement. And you said that there, at that time, I remember, you said that there was racism in baseball.
Well, I would apply that more to a double standard. Absolutely no ifs, buts about it. And obviously today you're being judged by, your financial advantages and then your physical advantages. You know, we see now the advance of, you got steroids, you've got growth hormones, you got cloning, you got Botox, you got plastic surgeries. Everybody wants to look perfect and everybody wants to lead a perfect life. And I mean, I don't know what that says for our society nowadays that we're so superficial, but it is a problem.
One of the things that I want people to understand about this book and about you, since I've known you for a long time, is the background. You emigrated to the United States back in the 70s with your family. Can you give people some idea about Jose Canseco and the Canseco family?
Very boring and a middle-class to poor family, just like everyone else. We migrated in 1965. My father saw an opportunity to come over from Cuba to the United States because I think he knew the political situation in Cuba, that it was not going to get any better. So obviously coming to the United States, my father was a very hard worker. He was a perfectionist. I talk about this in the book. Worked three or four jobs, and then to make ends meet at night, he worked a security job at Zaire, and I'll never forget that. But as a father, he was a, kind of a black and white individual. He wanted things perfectly. He wanted the best for his family. But, sometimes parents mean the best for you, but really don't know how to go the best way around it.
What was it like for you and your brother, Ozzy?
We were twins, and we were hell on wheels sometimes. But in general, we were kind of quiet, shy kids. My brother being the more aggressive, the two, in the sense of he was more, you know, adventurous than I was. And obviously, you know, at the high school level, you started realizing these things that, you know, I was extremely shy, extremely quiet. I was an extreme introvert when my brother was a little more outgoing.
And those early days, was it hard for you to assimilate into the American culture?
No, not really, because we were, I think, a year and a half or 2 years old when we came over to the United States.
Okay, so
we were brought up in kind of an Americanized environment.
Yeah. And your dad, I understand, when did baseball come into your lives?
Gee, I think we never really took baseball serious in the sense of I never thought I would make it a profession, or I never thought I would make money in the sport of baseball, probably until I got to the minor league level in a way, shape, or form. I mean, growing up, I mean, I grew up with players like Danny Tartabal, Rafael Palmeiro, Junior Baldespino, Otis Green, which at these times, they were superstars. They were already, you know, they already had asterisks over their head as major league superstars. And I never thought in a million years I would ever – nonetheless, make it to the minor league level, but then go on to make it to the major league level and then accomplish so many things, especially now, write this book. It's amazing.
Did things come easy to you, Jose, baseball-wise?
Because
you're big, you're talented, obviously.
I don't think so. I mean, going back to the high school era and then even prior to that, I had physical problems. I was, I think I graduated from high school. I was 5'10", 150 pounds. I had major back problems inherited from my father. I had scoliosis, degenerative disc disease, arthritis. And, you know, I found out later on in my career, in the sense of in the minor league level, what steroids can do for you.
Your mom, how did she factor into this? Because you were very close to her.
Very close, just like any children are to their mother. I mean, my father was the disciplinarian, of course, the perfectionist. And my mother was the one who tried to solve everything at times, you know, soften the blows at times. And, you know, my brother and myself, we always clung to her when it was always a problem. And, you know, in our family, I guess our mom was the one that would, you know, let us get away with little things here and there. And our father would be the strong arm, definitely.
Yeah. Now, your dad, as I understand, as you were coming up in baseball, kind of bribed you a little bit for home runs.
He did. He said something, well, when you get to the minor league level, the major league level, every time you hit a home run, I'm going to give you $5. So I said, well, that's pretty good because, let me see, at the minor leagues this year, I'll make $600 and $5 per home run kind of adds up. But even though back then I wasn't really known as a power hitter, but my father, actually, how funny, he kept that going till my last day as a major leaguer, which is great. He kept that promise.
Yeah, I remember meeting him one time over at the Oakland Coliseum and spending a little bit of time with him there. Your mom, how did she feel about you playing baseball?
My mom was very old-fashioned, kind of like from the old country, spoke a little bit of English. She was a stay-home type mom. And she never really watched any of my games. She never watched any of my minor league games, obviously. And, you know, she was kind of like a mom who didn't understand baseball in that sense, didn't really understand sports. So she was just a stay-at-home mom who would just take care of us.
It's interesting, too, because a lot of people do see sports as a road to somewhere. Did your dad feel that way? And because of the other Hispanic stars that had been in baseball that you alluded to earlier, did that play a factor in your drive to want to be a Major League Baseball player?
I think from the very beginning, there really was no drive. From the very beginning, I think my brother and myself, we really had little of no talent whatsoever. I think we just played baseball because we were too little and too skinny to play football. We were too short to play basketball. I mean, think about it. You know, do you think white men can't jump? Cubans can jump less. So, I mean, I think baseball was the only outlet we had to play some type of organized sports.
Your brother, Ozzy, a sibling rivalry there, your twins, what was that relationship like?
No. No whatsoever. It's like Mark McGuire and you, Jose. Were you rivalries? We're in the same team? No, we were twin brothers. We got along quite well. I mean, at times, even your best of friends, you can have misunderstanding with or not agree upon certain things, but we're definitely brothers.
Where did baseball take on the serious bent with you then?
When my mother died.
That's when you made the comment to her, I'm going to be the best athlete?
Absolutely. That, you know, it's a story in my book, which is, it's hard to talk about, but when I saw my mother I came back from Modesto, California, And, you know, my sister told me, come home, something, you know, mom is sick. And when I saw her on her, in the hospital on her bed, she was brain dead. She was gone. And something just came over me right then and there. And I told her, you know, I was crying and, you know, I was hoping she could hear me. And I told her that no matter what it took, no matter what's going to happen, I am going to become the best baseball player, the best athlete in the world, because she never got to see me play baseball, period. And I always wanted her to get to see me play baseball.
Jose Canseco has joined us here in the studio. The name of the book, of course, is called Juiced, Wild Times, Rampant Roid Smash Hits, and How Baseball Got Big. We will indeed talk about the book in the next segment as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.